Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare
of our Compassion Tuesday. Perhaps you have been a regular guest to this program, but I should nevertheless state the purpose. On this program, Compassion Tuesday, we will be sending out good wishes, emphatic wishes, compassionate wishes for the well-being of others. And we do know that by doing this regularly and meditating also, our compassion potential increases, and we will translate that into practical action. Today I would like to introduce the second part to our subject, self-compassion. We said the last time, self-compassion is very different from self-pity. It is an understanding of our own humanness as opposed to pitying ourselves for the various mistakes which we make. And by coming to terms with this, we can then spread this understanding to others. And instead of judging them, we can sincerely wish them well and act also for their benefit. But there is a very fine line between self-compassion and selfishness, or self-compassion and self-indulgence. And to make sure that in our Compassion Tuesday we do not cross that fine line and make it a Selfishness Tuesday, I want to be very clear about what is self-compassion, because properly understood, it is the basis of being compassionate to others. But improperly understood and applied, it is bringing us closer to false ego and selfish desires. Good. My dear audience, let us understand there are three levels of self-compassion, because we as human beings are very complex entities. There is a physical level, which translates into an appropriate amount of self-care, physical care, that we are healthy. Then there is a mental level. We have to see that our mind is in good working order. And there is a spiritual level. We have to see that our spiritual soul is properly nourished. It's necessary to have self-compassion, because we have sitting right with us a relentless inner critic. He looks at our body and says, oh, you're much too fat. You are so unhealthy and unattractively looking. The inner critic looks at our mind. You are never in a good mood. You are always full of self-doubt. And the inner critic looks also on our spiritual efforts and says to us, you're not spiritually advanced, you are having no realizations, you are empty and full of doubts. And in this way, the inner critic attacks us on the physical, mental and spiritual level, so that we are really powerless by this constant nagging inner critic. It's a voice which is always against us. And because of this voice is often unconscious, we are not aware of it so much. It informs us from deep inside, and we have a little And it manifests in our consciousness as feeling unwell and not loved and so on. Therefore, we often become critical of others, judgmental of how they look, how they speak, how they think, and judgmental of their spiritual advancement. You have maybe seen fanatism. Fanatism is always an overcompensation of one's own doubts and insecurity. You have maybe seen harshness in others. It is because the people are very discontent in themselves. It's an overcompensation of their discontentment. And maybe you have seen people who act very rash and harsh. It's always an overcompensation of their own insecurities. You know, people who are not calm inside, who are not self-accepting, but who are always fighting with themselves, project their judgmentalism on others. There is a shocking study out. I have heard it a few times said. It was done by the University of California, and the result of the study is that highly religious people are less motivated by compassion when helping a stranger. They are less generous with others than people who are not religious, because these highly religious people are so judgmental against themselves, and even in their own little circle they are so judgmental with each other when someone doesn't reach the highest bark. And whenever the highest bar, and whenever they see someone fail on the outside, they lash out on them with criticism. Something gets triggered inside, and so on. When you are unwell, ask a simple question to yourself. What is it that makes me unhappy? Become aware of it and then release it. How to do this, we will learn in our compassion meditation. Now, having said all this, I need to make two important points. First of all, we need to be balanced. There's on one side the self-critical aspect, and then on the other side there is the very relaxed and very, let us say, everything is all right, I'm all right, you are all right. These people can be very negligent, very insensitive, and lack all efforts. We need to find the balance between being, between this one voice which says, look at yourself and analyze yourself, find out if you're doing well, and the other voice that is, everything goes, everything is all right, there are no standards of human behavior, etc. And I feel the balance between these two poles in the duality comes when you act from the level of the real you. we understood self-compassion can be done on the physical level, on the mental level, and on the soul level. Ultimately, our body will decay and go. Our mental sets, our mental moods constantly shift and move around in this life. That one constant factor, which is always the same, is your true nature, the self, the Atman, the spiritual soul, the part of God that gives life to this mind to think and the body to act. And when you have a little spiritual self-compassion, how am I doing? How is that is not what I wanted to say. When you have self-compassion and you say, okay, let me accept that I'm not yet perfect, and let me not bang me on the head, then you can nourish your soul. You can feel on that level the equality of all beings, which is a prerequisite for compassion. And you can come from that place, the spiritual place, and be properly self-compassionate on the other levels, the mental, the physical level. And you will always know when you come too close to that fine border, which leads to selfishness, and you will never cross that border when you are on the spiritual platform and have spiritual self-compassion. Again, I need to say, when we can't be understanding towards ourselves, it will not be possible to be understanding of others. If we can't forgive ourselves, we will not forgive others easily. Therefore, self-compassion is important and needs to be there amongst the other forms of compassion which we are discussing and dealing with. Good. Now we come to the second part of our program. It's a little meditation on self-compassion. We will have three stages here. The first stage, our first step, we will bring empathy for ourselves. We will feel it. We will recognize it. We will accept it. Whatever it is that is there, our own burden. The second step, very important. We will encourage another aspect of our personality, not the recognition of our burden, which is there on the first step, but some warm-heartedness, some supporting, some caring. And we will encourage ourselves. And the third step, we will help compassion to sink in, self-compassion. And then, from there, we are ready to do what we are doing this Compassion Tuesday. We will be able to give compassion to others. It sounds complicated. It is not. Let's meditate. I request you to sit straight. Become aware of your body, starting from the feet, moving up to your knees, and then to your hips, and relax. become aware of your sitting bones and the spinal cord. And relax. The back. Relax. Your chest. Relax. Your abdomen. Relax. Your neck and the back of the head. Relax. The shoulders and arms. Relax. The top of your head. Forehead, relax. Your two cheeks, relax. Your eyes, relax. And your tongue. Relax. If you have not done so already, please close your eyes now. Bring to mind now the sense of your own difficulty. Are you maybe having some physical pain? Are you going through something that upsets you emotionally, like worries? Hurt, stress, loss? Look at your own distress with a feeling of having this in common with all of humanity. Other people too are anxious. Other people too experience suffering. Other people too have physical pain or loss. It is part of our humanity that we are at times going through painful periods in our life. Now imagine you're with someone who cares for you. Maybe a friend. A child. God. Imagine you're someone who really cares for you. Someone for whom you matter. Let the feelings of care support and encouragement rise to your conscious awareness. And send these feelings now to yourself as you would do when you would see a child suffering, and you send them support. Be kind and warm-hearted to yourself. Give comfort to yourself. Sense what is going on inside you. Can you breathe a sigh of relief? Or can you sense some calm? Some soothing release. Let the sensation of giving yourself comfort and hearing another voice than that inner critic sink in. From this place, place of calmness, warmth, think of people who are suffering. Who have experienced loss. Who are struggling inside. And send them wishes. Good wishes. May all be happy. May all be healthy. May all be able to see the good. May there not be distress for anyone. Stay a little bit more in this space. Call people into the space who you wish well. Maybe you want to say a prayer for them. Self-compassion, which is done from the place of seeing the equality of all beings, is compassion for the soul. gently stay in this space. We will now sing a little kirtan. I remember when we asked our spiritual master what to do when there were, for instance, a drought. He said, go there and chant. We asked him what to do in the case of violent conflicts which are there in the world. His answer was, chant. Call upon the Supreme. It is by His strength that everyone can be blessed. So let us sing in this mood.
Thank you. Yeah.
What I always do when I have sung a kirtan, I let it sink in. I let the echo vibrate in the space of the heart. And I can see that by this I become a more calm person who's able to step out his own circle of concern, the things which occupy him, and then think of the welfare of others and act of the welfare for the welfare of others. I suggest that we give these two lectures, the last one, or let us say two sessions, lecture and meditation, the last one, and this one, the title Self-Compassion, and then you can view them again. We will place them on my YouTube channel, because it will take a little, let us say, exercise to come to that mature self-compassion which Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about. Where he says, yes, let me also love myself, who am inclined to the service of the Lord. You can see his self-compassion is really on the spiritual level. Yes, I love myself because I'm a lover of God. I'm truly in my proper space. And I think we have always seen that those people who are able to love are able to be compassionate. There's one little event which I want to invite all of you. Radhika Ranjan will organize a kirtan coming Sunday where we send compassionate well wishes and prayers to the victims of COVID-19 in India. I've seen today films and videos sent by my friends from India. So me, it seems it's really spreading. You can find out where exactly this will be streamed on this Facebook account. Gokrishna and myself are also invited and will take part in this action. We will sing there also. So if you would like to join, it's good if more people come. Anyways, for the end, I would like to say I so much value that you join us for Compassion Tuesday. I told one of the participants who spoke with me on phone that this is a very good inner workout, this compassion meditation, Compassion Tuesday. It will make you strong inside to send the most important quality which a human being is able to have, the most important virtue, that is caring for the welfare of others. I thank you very much. See you soon again.